There they go. Here we are. Myself and Tulsa Ronnie over there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, welcome. How's your good weekend? I mean, you're a little frigid, a little cold, but good weekend.
You know, not too bad. It's going to be a busy week, but yeah, just kind of. I'll be back. I'll be back Sunday. So you're
out for the week.
You're going to find me in the cozy confines here of the Courtyard Tulsa.
Are you in that scene downtown all week long?
All week long, buddy.
Oh, that sucks. It sucks because it would be all right for, I don't know, I say that, but I also like staying stationary in one spot, right? But I guess maybe like the excitement of going from hotel to hotel would kind of be intriguing, right? But also it's, logistics is a pain in the ass. We all know that, things.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm not settled in, it's usually not a good time. So
that is the thing. You get pretty hunkered down. I mean, that's the thing. Like when I know that I'm parked here for a week, I mean, I can bring like the mobile studio and like the last time when we had audio trouble, that was a real quick turnaround. So it's like, okay, here I know that I can actually put shit here that's not going to get moved. And we're all good. But
have you seen Sylvester Stallone there yet?
Is he from Tulsa?
He's like the fucking king of Tulsa.
Is he really? I didn't know that. No. Look, I didn't know that.
Mayor of Tulsa or king of Tulsa? I think he's the king of Tulsa. Nice. You got to look it up.
And we've got somebody here that knows. Yes, I am here for the Chili Bowl. The biggest indoor short track race at the Tulsa Expo Center. Golden Driller is going to be handed out this weekend or this week. So, yeah.
Is O'Reilly sponsoring that?
Hey, yeah, it's one of our big events.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of our big events. Hey, you know why them girls are fighting on East 6th Street?
Future leaders, they want to show their leadership for the country.
Close. I did some in-depth reporting. They knew that Ronnie was there last Saturday on a ghost tour, and they were all there to see him. And when they found out Ronnie wasn't coming, that broke out. They were looking for me, buddy.
Time out 20 seconds here. There's a lot to kind of process and digest with that. But first and foremost, did you go on a ghost tour?
Yeah, I went on a ghost tour last week. Okay.
You didn't tell me about that. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm into the supernatural a little bit.
Dude, you need to do this. Because, this is good for you being a transplant into Austin.
The tour is only as good as the host, dude. The tour is only as good as the person taking you around as the tour guide.
Oh, so here's what happened. So this was, we were supposed to take one tour. I bought this for Tracy for Christmas, and then it didn't work out for whatever reason. So then they put me on another one, still a ghost tour. So it was Tracy and I and the tour guide. It was three of us. She was amazing. Amazing. Her name is Anne. She's tremendous. I'll send you the link.
What buildings did you guys go? I mean, I've heard like isn't the Driscoll haunted?
The
hotel down there is haunted, isn't it?
We ended up at the Driscoll, which is right there where that fight was. So we were there. There's a couple of speakeasies there that are hidden that are haunted.
For sure.
Other place is haunted?
Speakeasies, are they public entrance or do you have to have like a membership or a card?
One of them you can just go in. The other one, you have to have a secret code to get in there. But you know where else is haunted?
Hold on. Does the code change every week?
Every day. You know where else is haunted?
I'm guessing you're on a membership list and the code gets emailed to you or whatever every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So remember.
That's pretty wild. That's.
Remember where we had that TSU gathering at the moon? Moon? That place is haunted.
I don't remember the venue, but I remember the area where we were at. Yeah.
That place is haunted. That room that we were in, that's a haunted space.
Like the stone, like the little stones.
Yeah. With the stone floors. Yeah. They take you in there and they tell you that whole story. And I'm like, how did I not know this? I've been here all my fucking life.
I always like me a good ghost story, man. Some of the best tours down on North Carolina, like the North Carolina, South Carolina shoreline there with all the pirate stories and Black Bart stories. Now I'm going to get real dorky, but that's the type of shit that I'm into, man. We went on this awesome tour down in Galveston. It was supposed to be kind of like a ghost tour. That's kind of how they sold it, but it ended up being like a gangster tour, honestly. They told you a little bit of ghost stories, but basically it was, you know, how the gangsters were bootlegging. But anyways, it was still a fun tour, man. Galveston's a fun little place too, man.
Yeah, that's cool stuff to know. That's good.
Man. I'm always down for a good little ghost tour. So, okay, that was the first part of your thing. What was the second part that you were telling me about?
So we were literally standing right there where that was. Not this Saturday, obviously, but the Saturday before. Clear. So it was like, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, they thought I was coming back, you know. So
They were upset. They were upset that they didn't get to go on the ghost tour with you.
It's a misunderstanding. It was a misunderstanding.
Bill Collins, misunderstanding. Absolutely. The first part, we got a lot to break down. We got some news coming inbound, huh? Everybody wearing the burnt orange here. Mr. Cam Coleman making the splash. Big wide receiver room for Arch Manning, who's already touted as the Heisman hopeful right now. So, my dude, what do you think, man? What's this dude? What's the spin for you? And also, the running back room getting replenished here, my guy.
This is a guy in Cam Coleman where you bring him in.
Here's the guy.
Yeah, I feel like Chris Collinsworth here. This guy, I mean, this seriously is. And I am so glad. I was thinking about this last night, where you look at now with everything that you have with the two running backs, now with the multitude of wide receivers. Actually,
if you consider Cooper coming in too. So
yeah. So you look at this.
I did see that Clark entered the portal. Is that correct?
He's in the portal, and I don't blame him. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, okay, what's your role? Yeah, you know, these guys are going to have to get beat up pretty good for you to get a little bit of game. But I mean, that's how he got game last year. The other two guys exited, but. It's like you think of what you've bolstered right here. Now that you have Arch Manning playing like Arch Manning, we knew that Arch Manning was going to be playing. That's where I think I go back and I look at this season and I'm like, okay, it really was a success. I know you didn't make the college football playoff, which is probably good because you're not going to beat Indiana anyway. But you've got Arch Manning playing at this level right now. And then you go out and you bring in these guys right now. You go out and you get Cam Coleman. You got a running back called Hollywood, for crying out loud. I mean, shit. You've got two backs there. And here, this was the big thing yesterday. What a day in the portal for Texas. The big thing for me, Goosby's coming back. I know that's not a portal thing.
That was a huge sell, too, right? Having Goosby coming back. Being able to have your anchor on offensive line is something that you absolutely need going in the next. You have to have that answered going in the next season. You have to know that answer going in the next year.
Right. And that's you've got that guy that's going to be protecting the backside of Arch Manning this year. So you've got that. But what a week. And just think about this to where we were. I mean, there was a lot of despair around here when guys started entering the portal to where it's like, oh, my God, what a fail this has been. And remember, we talked about it.
We were missing out on a lot of the missed on ball was. Hurt that one hurt, right? But then you're able to kind of correct it and get Brown, right? And then you know, after this weekend and you know being able to get Simeon, I mean Smothers from NC State there. It still hurts to see Clark leave. I still wanted to keep some continuity there in the backfield, and it looked like Clark was taking a next step, especially you know in the Michigan game. So It does suck whenever anybody loses, but also, like I've been saying, or we've been saying, with these people going outbound, new blood or not even just new blood, better talent is potentially coming in instead of, you know, what we were dealing with. So it sucks to see people go, but it also, I mean, it's a little bit of excitement because you have to know, you have to be able to deduce that these people coming in are probably a little bit better. That's what's forcing these people out. So.
And that was where we had the conversation about Jaden Baugh, to where it's like you bring that dude in there, that's going to be your solidified number one guy. And then you've got Gibson, you've got these guys that are going to be there if needed. You're going to insert them into the offense and use them in different ways. But I mean, dude, I would take this two running back attack that you have right now over Baugh, to be honest with you. Baugh would be great to have, but. Now you've got two legitimate threats.
Do you think Brown wouldn't have been able to be landed if Ball would have been there, or do you think Texas would have just dropped the pursuit on Brown and kind of just said Ball's what we have, Ball's enough?
I think you would have gone Baugh, Gibson, and then, you know, the rest of the committee right there to kind of fit in with whoever was still going to be in the room. But I think once you landed Brown, and I got to tell you, man, the Smothers thing to me was the one that was most surprising, because I didn't even see that on the radar, for crying out loud. I mean, what I thought that was done.
That was a shock for everybody, right? What is Smothers? I don't have Smothers' size on me right now.
Smothers, I think, is a tad bit big.
Is he a little bit like Gibson, more of a red zone running back?
He's a little taller than Brown, but they're about the same size.
Okay.
So when it comes to weight,
I've seen him at 201, 202. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think weight's going to be very compatible, but I think what you get with this is you get, I keep going back to Jaden Blue.
I've seen up to 205. Now I see 190.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep going back to Jaden Blue, to where I think that even though, you know, Jaden Blue, you know, whatever has happened in Dallas, but this offense really thrived with Jaden Blue. Both of these guys.
Blue's more of a comp to Brown, I would think, right?
Especially, but Smothers ain't that far
out of the backfield and being able to catch passes out of the backfield. I'd say Brown is kind of more of a Blue comp, a Jaden Blue comp.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to have a bruiser. You know, this isn't going to be where you're swapping out and going to a fullback type either way.
Let's 20 second right here. You got a bruiser in the backfield. You don't want to utilize his legs that much. You kind of want to preserve him as much as possible. But if you do the
your quarterback the
push, you know, if you're in a goal line situation and you can kind of get that tush push and protect Arch Manning, you do kind of have a little bit of I'd say maybe a somewhat of a bruiser, right? You don't want to get that dude all bruised and busted up. But yeah, what Manning's 240, some shit like that, 240 pounds, like 6'2", 240. He can get into the end zone.
And I think the other part of this that what makes it even bigger to me is that you add these two guys, and now the fact that you've got Michael Masunas that you added a tight end. Nice essentially,
tight end.
You've got
blocking tight end too. Good blocking.
Yeah. So you got two tight ends at this point. I mean, because you're adding to that room. This offense is going to be loaded, but you got to take care of the line. And I mean, having Goosby back, I think is a great get. Connor Robertson back at center. That's good experience. I think that's great. There's continuity there with Manning, but that's the next thing to go to work. I mean, go in there and get that offensive line.
Yeah.
Shored up, because you have to do that. I mean, we can talk about how great the running backs are.
All the Joes that we want and all the, you know, the skill players. But if you ain't blocking up front for him, my guy, you guessed that. You hit it right on the head.
That's a whole thing. And if you're going to expect these running backs to make plays with subpar offensive line play, that you're going to get these dudes beat up. And that's what you can't do. So, but I mean, the way this lines up, I mean, it really, and you know, the other part of it, Wags, I mean, you got a couple of linebackers this weekend too. I mean, so with Biles coming in from Pittsburgh, and then you got, you know, Cryer that's coming in. Yeah. So I thought at the first part of the weekend, I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen with Cam Coleman, but I thought, hey, maybe that's the big thing of the weekend. And then yesterday I'm just getting bombarded where it's like, seriously, the Hollywood, the Smothers thing, I did not see that coming. Absolutely didn't see it coming, especially with Brown. So, all right, here you go. Everything is lined up for you. How are you going? That's my question. With all these pieces that you have here, oh, by the way, you know, you've got Ryan Wingo here. I mean, you've got some really good pieces here. How are you going to make all this work? It's a good problem to have.
I'm sitting here. We're in honeymoon stage right now, right? So I'm probably going to give, you know, Coleman the one spot, and then I'll probably go with Mosley as my two, honestly, and then Wingo as my. Excuse me. Then Wingo is my three. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But yeah, that's kind of how I rate my wide receivers right now. I'm thinking, you know, Coleman's probably the best wide receiver in there. And then a lot of people want, look, there's so much love for Wingo. I get that. And I got love for Wingo too. But in the playmaking abilities that I've seen, or not so much the playmaking abilities, I'll say like consistency and clutch hands. Not that Mosley was ever that clutch, but I feel like Mosley made bigger grabs or grabs in more critical moments than Ryan Wingo did. Ryan Wingo had a lot more opportunities than Mosley did as well, but also like I feel like Mosley won over the trust of Arch Manning. right? With just Arch Manning being able to put a ball back in behind the nose zone there, and then Mosley being able to go get it instead of just giving up on the route. I saw a lot of that this season too, with some of the receivers not so much giving up on the route, but just not inserting their physicality to shield off a defender and protect Arch from a bad throw, or if he was throwing a bad throw. I think now, man, with this wide receiver room, shit, with the running back room too, there's the talent is there, man. We got to block it up.
Yeah. And I do think that for Ryan Wingo and for Emmett Mosley, that this is their chance, because just think of the attention that Cam Coleman is going to draw. And that's where I kind of go to reverting back to in the off season, you know, as we start getting into the spring and all that, to where what's the problem that we kind of had a little bit there with Wingo? I mean, the dropsies, we kind of had some of that. I mean, you got to solidify that.
There were a lot of drops.
There's a lot of it. There were a lot of drops. Yeah, that really was the problem. But and that's where I think where I go back to Mosley, where this really is an opportunity for him staying healthy, that he's because these guys are going to draw some really good matchups, because so much of that focus with Cam Coleman, he's going to draw that, as he should.
I mean, go ahead, double him up. I don't know how you're going to cover everybody, right? And then if you do find a way to kind of be able to get everybody covered up, how are you going to account for Brown leaking out of the backfield?
That's exactly right. I mean, because that's a dude where you can bubble screen him out. I mean, you can do all these different things with him, and it really is to where you think about. I mean, think about this to where let's say that you're trying to throw the ball or whatever, you're having trouble running the ball. Different things aren't working. Your last option of getting the ball outside the pocket is Arch Manning.
Right,
that's a pretty damn good last option.
Or you don't have to rely on bubble screens or quick screens to get to the edge either. Now you kind of got your whole playbook wide open. You don't have to rely on gimmick plays and gadget plays to get to the edge or any more like that. You can absolutely, you know, have some speed in the backfield to where, and you got a tight end that can seal the edge too, right? So
two of them
over the past 2 weeks, and with the portal closing here. I think it closes in a couple days here soon. So, really, really timely gets, man.
Sunday was just a crazy day when it comes to probably the best day in the portal for anybody, I would think, ever.
Frazier leaving, Georgia as well. So,
yeah. Hey,
it's not just Texas. We talked about Georgia did not have a mass exodus like most a few other programs, but Texas had a mass exodus, of course. Penn State and Iowa State, we've talked about those, but also Ohio State lost a good chunk of players too. So a lot of people are kind of shuffling the roster up. Going into roster dives this week, I did discover something, and sure, this is probably has a big reason, or it's probably correlated with why they're doing so well. Do you know the average age of Indiana's roster?
What are they, about 20, 23, 24 years old?
Fucking on the head, Michael Jordan, on the head. About 23 years old, right?
It shows.
And who is the team that is really active in the portal this year again?
Active in the portal.
Who's active in the portal again? Who's having tremendous success in the portal right now?
Texas
right now, but Indiana. Oh. Indiana's killing it.
Indiana. Yeah.
Indiana's still killing it, right? So remember how we were talking about not so much wasting time or wasting effort on high schoolers, right? It's good to have an eye on high schoolers, right? But if you can find someone else's trash and turn it into your treasure, And get into the portal like Cignetti has done. And another thing that I wanted to bring this up, is there a correlation here with Indiana's success and Clemson's downfall? I'm asking the question. I don't know if there is. I'm going to have to delve into this and find out, because it seems like the coaches that didn't address the portal allowed teams like Indiana to thrive and be vibrant in the portal, right? Yeah. I'm not saying it's all Dabo's fault that Indiana is doing so well. But still, like, if you're not taking those opportunities, you're missing out on those opportunities, right?
Yeah.
It seems just like simple logic to me. Maybe it's too simple. I don't know.
It's a new way of doing business right now to where it, and you know what, it totally makes sense where you talk about with the more relaxed practices, the shorter practices with Indiana, they always seem crisp. Why? Cause they're older. I mean, they want to be plain. Yeah. Fresh. Yeah. And the thing is, Wags, you go into what Cignetti and Indiana has done so well is you look at a lot of dudes on that roster. They're not five-star guys. I mean, you go out, and that is truly utilizing the portal where you go out and all these splashes that Texas is making, that's great. That's the way of the portal right now. But the way that Indiana's utilized this is you go out.
Their rosters are answered already. They already know.
You find the gym. Yeah.
And that beatdown they put on Oregon, that was personal. Do you know why? Cignetti was basically staring down Lanning on the other side of the sideline saying, the fucking portal was mine, bitch.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you did see the news, Riola to Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, Oregon. You know, there you go. Yeah. You got your guy. You got one of your guys there, Lanning.
Well, and I think it really, the timing of all of this is the way that Indiana has done this, where they have totally bucked this whole system that we're talking about going out and finding guys, you know, the big splash, whatever. Kurt Cignetti has sat here and built a program that has thrived on finding those hidden gems, building team correlation, fighting for your brother, all these different things. That is what he has done.
I don't know what he's selling to the players. But it is they are older, and I'm sure the bag or maybe the marketing tactic that he's selling is, look, we don't know if you're going to go to the NFL, right? But you know, we can get you here to where you're making some good plays, and we can get you some NIL money. Maybe that's the approach that Cignetti is doing. But he is building a winner, and it's not just here. We've talked about this, man. The dude has been building winners wherever he lands. He leads the program better.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does. And it's a cool story to watch. And I think the timing is unbelievable. Indiana's going to win the national championship. Look, man,
look, there's been so many shocks this season already. And Miami, man, Miami is not to be counted out just yet. But I'm with you. I feel like Indiana is a very dominant team. Bear chiming in. Producer Bear, sorry, Chambliss. You can't play your sixth year of college football, denied. Yes, that was the news over the weekend. Chambliss's, I guess it wasn't an appeal because they're appealing now, but he put in something to, he put in a notion to go for a sixth year. He submitted a notion to go for a sixth year. That did get denied. They're going to officially appeal it, and they will have another chance to do this. So
going to court. And I think that's where, just kind of in the way that this is all falling out, is where if you start having this more where you get the programs that are built the way Indiana has, and Jake's got it right there, the fact that he's gotten the losingest program in college football in history – and here they are playing for a national championship. I mean, and that's where, and I think the story's even greater because just the following that Indiana has, I mean, the alumni base is the biggest. I mean, Indiana's that big, and these people are all dug in. And I just think the timing of what Indiana's doing to what everything, look, it's been a great weekend in the portal for Texas, but the fact that Texas is now doing business this way and everybody's doing business this way, and yet you've got probably going to be the national championship, a team that's built with a bunch of dudes genuinely love playing with each other, and they're led by a coach that is just a bad son of a bitch. I mean, I think the time
he is all business. Incredible. He is all business. Yeah. And they ain't going anywhere.
No, he's not.
They're going to be able to reload right after this.
No, I keep hearing, you know, get the guy to move or whatever. This is a guy I think that is truly invested. He is going to stay with this program.
Have you seen what Indiana's doing in the portal? They're reloading. They have answers for everybody. They have answers for their succession plan. All right, they're people that are going out. They're spelling them already.
They do it, and this is a coach to where you can talk about physical ability, and you can talk about stats, and you can talk about all these different things. I think a lot of what Kurt Cignetti does is he's got his blueprint, he's got his program, and the way he wants his program to run, and he finds guys that are going to be able to pop into that system.
Yeah. Plug and play. Absolutely.
Yeah. And elevate their play. That's the other part of it, where what Indiana's done so well, they have taken guys that, I mean, Fernando Mendoza, when he goes to Indiana, are we like blown off the map? No. And now look at him. I mean, he's a character guy. That's the biggest thing with this dude, where it's like you sit there and you listen to him and it's like, God, That's just a good guy.
A little corny, right? But he's a brain, right? He's a brain. He's a brain that knows how to play ball, and the dude knows how to spin it better. Shit, man. I thought maybe we were all just kind of on the hype train with Mendoza and the Mendoza mania. Now, I don't know, you know, if it'll translate and carry over into the pro ball, but I mean, I'm sure he's going to have his rookie struggles, especially if he goes to Vegas. He's going to struggle. But yeah, it seems like he's got it all figured out, and he's firing on all cylinders in that Indiana Hoosier offense, man, leading that Indiana Hoosier offense. Hey, you know who else is going to lead you? He'll lead you in court. It's our guy, Ryan Hurricane Hecht. And when that storm hits, you got to give our guy, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, the call. That number, 512-938-8929. If you're injured in a car accident or any type of personal injury at all, just give our guy, Ryan, a call at that number. He's aggressive in the courtroom, compassionate with his clients. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to fight like hell to make it right. He's Austin-based. He's Texas-proud, wearing those Longhorn burnt orange suits into the courtroom for you, supporting local sports, local businesses, local families, and you when you call him today. That number again, 512-938-8929. Email Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. That's Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. Tell him the crew from TSU sent you.
Hey, very well done. I like the rhyming right there. Covert Bee Cave, my friends, looking for that new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. There's one place to check. It's covertbeecave.com. Check out the full inventory there on the website today. Make that drive out there to beautiful Bee Cave. Find that car, truck, or SUV, and you might be one of these people.
I don't have to worry about shopping for mechanics to make sure it's done and done right. I come up here, I'm in, I'm out. They give me a loaner sometimes, and it's hassle-free.
If you have any questions, they'll go ahead and help you out and educate you. They're not just here just to sell you a vehicle. They're here to build a relationship.
They treat you like family, and then they make the experience what you want it to be, not what they want it to be.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Where you are always treated like family.
That's right. Nobody beats Covert Deal. Not now, not ever. Check them out online today at covertbcave.com. McCall Custom Homes, looking for that 2026 home renovation project or a new home. Looking for a new home as well. They can take care of that for you, because for over 40 years, father-son team there with McCall Custom Homes, our man Mike McCall, they have been doing that for Central Texans. And I'm here to tell you, I am a satisfied McCall Custom Homes and a renovation, reconstruction of my primary bathroom is what they did, and it's an amazing space. They're ready to do that for you. You can check out the gallery of projects at McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. You got an outdoor space that you want to liven up a little bit as we start getting into the springtime. You're going to want to spend some time outside. You got a worn out patio space that needs some updating, or you want a patio space. They can do that for you. And all you have to do is make that phone call or text at 512-633-9580. Get that free estimate, but you have to mention TSU, Texas Sports Unfiltered. Be sure and let Mike know that you heard about him right here on this network, and he'll get out there and give you an idea of what you're looking for. If you have your thoughts, they'll work together with you and get that thing to reality. Check them out today, 512-633-9580, McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. For over 40 years, man. Be a satisfied customer, just like Double R, just like Bucky Godbolt, and just like Central Texans aplenty. We build value into your home. It is McCall Custom Homes. Coda Text Line also says Mosley benefits the most with Coleman. And I truly do think that really is the one that can benefit the most, because you have to think with those coverages that Coleman, the attention that Coleman is going to attract, that there's just going to be a lot of open space. And what does that do? That opens up the running game. And that was the problem in the past, Wags, where I think that this year you couldn't really count on the running game to come to life. Again, you need some offensive line help, but you got a couple of dudes back there that are going to tote the rock, that are quick, that are elusive, that can get the ball down the field. Get ahead of the chains. Don't get into 3rd and 8. 3rd and 12. Don't get into that shit, because you become like so much more predictable.
Pretty quick too. Like I feel like we went off the run when we didn't have to. If we would have just stuck with it after, you're gonna get losses every now and then with a run, right? You're gonna come up with some negative impacts, okay? But also you're gonna bust some 10-yard runs too, okay? I feel like sometimes we abandon the run a little bit too early.
And I will tell you one thing, that again, very early on, I mean, we're fresh off of these portal acquisitions. I'm curious to see because we know that Steve Sarkisian has a very set way that he likes to call plays. I mean, now with this plethora,
you're right. It's scripted. It's high tempo. It feels like it's high tempo in the first half, and then it's lean on you and wear you out in the second half, right? With the rock. So
But you know, when you look at this, I mean, when you had Matthew Golden, you know, when you had that fleet,
Matthew Golden? This weekend, getting himself into the end zone,
looking good, although in a losing effort.
Took him all season long, but I mean, hell, you got in there. Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think this is where, I mean, you have receivers now that you haven't had, you know, in a couple of years. I mean, we sit here and talk like it hasn't been, that it's been forever since you've had these, but it's how does that offensive play calling philosophy change? Because now there's a lot there. And honestly, I think that that's where it's going to be even more imperative that he has somebody that, whether it's going to be an eye in the sky up in the booth or where it's going to be, that's going to have to help Steve do this because
I think we've simply
that you
that,
have
right?
So
like,
much.
Like even if he wants to be the play caller, he's got to take everything else off his plate and just be the play caller, right? Which I don't know how that's going to happen. If you're the head coach, you're the fucking CEO, man. You have to have oversight on everything. So,
yeah.
I think we continue to beat our head against the wall. Look at the stats that's out there right now. People that are winning is Cignetti calling his plays?
No.
Cignetti's not calling his plays. He's running the fucking team.
Yeah,
I love Sark, but that's my frustration with it. Right, like I know. Man, let swallow the pride, bro. Yeah, I was brought here to be a play caller. You were brought here to win a national championship, and with that does consist of you calling plays, but not if it takes back and puts a damper on you know, winning a national championship or bringing home a natty. Come on, man.
That's the number one goal right there. And the whole the thing with Cignetti, and that's where, like, right now, you know, that's the benchmark. It's become the benchmark here really, really fast. You look at what he's done. He's had the same coordinators, the same staff for 10 years, Wags, and he has drugged these guys, or they have stayed with him, and they started out D2 level? Guys,
exactly. Like, he's brought players from other programs to the portal. Like, no, this guy works well in my system. This is who I'm going with. I'm going with what I know.
Yeah.
How about that? Coaching people up.
I'm going to start calling this dude Crocodile Dundee.
That's a novelty. Coaching people up. Where have I seen that before, Nick Saban?
I'm gonna start calling this dude Crocodile Dundee. Remember when he left Australia and came to the U.S. and he's still doing all the zany, stupid shit that he was doing down under, and people are looking at him like, "Hey, what?" But yet he was an amazing success when he came to the States.
Crocodile Dundee. Wearing alligator boots.
That's right.
In that damn hat. Yeah, man. Great knife. Great week in a football.
You call that a knife?
We haven't gotten into NFL football yet, but we would be remiss. We only got an hour, right? We don't have 2 hours, so we gotta
back to
we were kind of in that 2 hour flow, right? But we're back to an hour now. Okay.
We were like this last week.
We're stretching out. We're flexing it a little bit, letting it breathe.
Flex Luger,
breathe a little bit there, man.
That's right. That's right.
Now we kind of got to get in and get out, right? Kind of like we're eating Russian duck. We're rushing in, we're ducking out. That's kind of what we used to say in the military. We're eating Russian duck today, boys. We're rushing in, we're ducking out.
And we still got a game tonight, too.
Seeing if Aaron Rodgers and company can take down the Texans. But, yeah, I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about basketball. Can we talk about basketball for 3 minutes here or 5 minutes? Can we give the boys their play? Just or their flowers just a minute. All right. We got Vandy coming up. Can we live on this Alabama win just for a minute? I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. And again, I'm gonna sound like it, and I'm gonna sound like I'm sitting here chugging burnt orange Kool-Aid, and I know that I sound nuts after what I just said on Friday, okay? But if the Longhorns can play like they did, if Pope can be aggressive like that and hit shots is the key. If Pope can do that, it opens up so much more. It allows Mark to get in his game, get in his bag, and allow him to kind of patrol, you know, on the perimeter there and be the rope man. But also, it pulls the defense in to where they gotta close out on the perimeter on Pope and allows Heidi to be able to hit and knock down. And then you got inside help with Vakatitis. It's all fluid and it's rolling like that when you're able to, and when you're hitting from the free throw line too. Again, I know that's probably an anomaly of a night.
That needs to be more consistent, speaking of hitting from the free throw line.
If you can find a way to consistently go out there and be aggressive in the half court set and attack like that and be able to knock it down, shoot at that high of a percentage, that's the thing too, right? The shooting lows have been there, and Alabama lives and dies off the three, and they were dying off the three when we played them on Saturday there. So, look, man, fantastic weekend for basketball, for hoops there. And it might be false advertisement, rightfully so. It might be false advertisement, but damn, it felt good to get a win like that. And if they can win like that consistently, double R, this might
no,
be.
Don't say it.
I know.
This is where they
could potentially get to the fucking tournament. Okay.
This is where I was saying.
That has to be the standard moving out. All right. And that's probably going to be the ceiling. Let's be honest. That's probably going to be the biggest win of the Longhorns. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is where I was saying that this team can sneak up on people, that it would be out. And, you know, I was talking about Swain, you know, with the shooter and all that. That dude with his defense on Saturday was more to me. But it was, I mean, when you have Pope going out for 28 and Wags, you just said it a while ago.
Also, like people weren't being able to slip into the lane, getting backdoor, mm-hmm. getting easy bunnies too. There wasn't lack of what you just said. There wasn't lethargic and lackadaisical defense there. People were on point, man. It was crisp, dude. They were taking turnovers and turning them into points. It was very fresh. It was refreshing basketball to see for the men being able to play.
And the best part about it, Wags, was this wasn't. You look at the score. You look at 92-88, and it's like, oh, Texas happened to beat Alabama. Texas beat Alabama that entire game. Texas, to me, was in command most of that game. But
they were. Alabama was able to close it down and get back a little bit. They closed it to one within the half or at halftime. But then after that, Texas came out and took flight as soon as the second half came out. So great win, and I'm with you guys. I know that Texas won't be able to play this consistent.
No.
And this is probably the ceiling. For Texas, right? But it shows you that Texas can beat a team like that. That's why I think that, you know, if they can continue to win like this or beat teams like that in the SEC, we'll see how they do with Vandy, right? We'll see. Vandy's on one right now.
You need about five of these.
Five's a definite, right? Five will definitely get you in like that. But I would say three wins off a program like Alabama, I think you got a chance to punch your ticket.
And then beat the ones you're supposed to beat in the SEC tournament too.
So
yeah. And then beat the ones you're supposed to beat.
Right, exactly.
That's a select few because we've seen them not do that already.
Right, and also like that can be a buster too, right? You know, not being able to take care of the team that you're supposed to, allowing those teams to kind of come up and sneak up and beat you. So
yeah, but Wags, when you talked about coaching guys up and doing these different look, when Sean Miller sat those guys down against Tennessee, I think that's where maybe that's an eye opening thing to where look. You sit your ass down. You ain't playing. I mean, we may not win this game.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. if you're not, and he said it too, like we're paraphrasing, right? If this moment is too big for you, we will find a way to get you in a place that's going to be more suited for your stature. Okay.
Meaning,
get the hell out. If you can't pull it, you're going to get out. Thank you so much for allowing us
last thing on that to me that's a hell of a lot more impactful when you put those dudes on the pine. That's a hell of a lot more impactful than going in front of a microphone and saying whatever about your team
let them feel how warm that bench can get.
That's where they understand it.
Let them sit there and chomp at that. Let them sit there and chew on their cheek a little bit and make them want to get in and make them get angry. Being like, coach, I should be in there. No, you shouldn't.
Sit there and pout.
You're not performing.
Amen. Amen.
All right. NFL talk, amigo.
Dude, NFL.
Probably the best wild card weekend I've seen in a minute. right?
I was going to text you, man. I thought Carolina was going to beat the Rams. I was going to text you Saturday and be like, just like we said, the Panthers, man, God dang, man. But that it didn't start that way. It started out like we thought it was going to start out.
It looked like the Rams were going to blow the doors off this thing pretty quick. And it was trending that way. Right. And then credit to them, the Panthers had some fight, man. They came clawing back and made this thing a game. Dude, I thought they were going to steal it. I did. I thought they were going to steal it from the Rams.
Yeah. 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 So the Rams,
your opinion, what was your favorite, not best game, but your favorite game that you saw?
I guess I think it was probably the Green Bay Chicago game, simply for the, because of the fact that I love that rivalry. And well, the other part of me, the Philadelphia game, because they lost.
Seeing Philly get beat, that's always good, right?
Yeah. But I think with Chicago and Green Bay, and to see Green Bay go down that way, and now, you know, there's a question about Matt LaFleur. Is this guy going to be coaching this? Remember, I said McDermott, you know, with Buffalo, it's like if that dude loses, he may be out on his ass. I don't know if Green Bay makes that move.
You think Green Bay moves on from LaFleur? Cram it up your cram, old LaFleur.
The bad thing about LaFleur is his losses have been like that, to where it's like it's not like Mike Tomlin where you're getting, you know, boat raced. You're losing really, really
close games.
You're losing games you shouldn't win or that you shouldn't lose.
I don't know.
But I would say that one. And for Kayla Williams, I don't know. At some point with Chicago, you're going to run into a Rams team. You're going to run into Seattle or somebody to where you can't fall behind like that and come back. Now, I don't think you're quite that good, but to see that one, that was just that's just good NFL football right there, watching those two go at it. And I will tell you, the Patriots, they're pretty fucking good.
Yeah, Drake May, right? There was it wasn't even the play that Drake made with his arm yesterday that kind of, you know, sealed the deal for me. It was, and again, there was probably some reluctancy from the Chargers to not want to pick up a penalty or maybe get a late hit on May. But May's ability right before the first half to scramble, I think it seemed like it was 80 yards. It seemed like the dude was running forever. But his ability to just be that sound, be that heady, and playoff caliber moments, be able to deliver like that. And honestly, like, and when the game was kind of inching along field goal to field goal, you know, trying to shit, that wasn't even field goal to field. They were fighting for field position. That's how close mm-hmm. this game was at, you know, or it seemed to be in the first half. But, you know, May realizing that, sensing that, you know, says, hey, I'm going to take this opportunity, scrambles about 80 yards to get his team into position to kind of take the lead going into halftime there. That's the type of championship, small plays like that, right? Like taking, I say taking an anthill and turning it into a mountain of a play, right? Because that's kind of what it is, that small little scramble just for a first down, but ends up being, you know, an 80-yard scamper and putting your team into field goal position. Because they also took a couple of shots at the end zone there, if I recall. But before that, they were able, you know, they chalked up 3 points there. But still, like, that's the type of stuff, the grittiness that you need to get your team into the Super Bowl, right? And Matt Stafford has always had that. And I think that's kind of why I was leaning on it, right? But I think now, like, Drake May has solidified my pick. And not that I get a vote, but I think he solidified my vote as MVP, NFL MVP.
Yeah, yeah. We can really dig in more.
I mean, the win in ugly fashion. And you it's evident, right? Like, LA's got better toys than New England. Yeah.
Well,
would you say, Core, you got a nice little fresh back, you know, in Corum, the backup Williams there. I mean, there's some toys there. Devontae Adams, this guy named Puka Nacua, who seems to be pretty good at football. There's some toys that the Rams have. I would say that Drake May is doing more with less.
Yeah, no. And that's, and just think about that. Just wait until he gets, you know, wait until they put those pieces around him. You know, I mean, right now I'm sitting here thinking at the thought, I know that Houston has a game to play tonight, but I'm sitting here thinking, imagine, can we get a New England and Houston AFC championship? That right there is going to be, that would be, man, that would be, you want to talk about some old school football, just salivating at the mouth, you know, cockfighting. If you got those two going at each other, but and this now you go to the Buffalo. I'm glad that Buffalo.
Was probably my favorite. Buffalo and Jacksonville was probably my favorite game.
It
sucks for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence seemed like he was finding his way out of it, and then another tipped ball, and again, like an interception for Trevor Lawrence on the last drive, but asterisk on that. Another tipped ball. So, if it hits a wide receiver's hands, you got to come down with it. You got to be able to
protect come down with it.
Like that. Anything that goes up in the air, it's going to be a tip drill, and it should be an opposition. It should be a takeaway for the opposition. So, yeah, it just sucks that, you know, that's kind of how it's going to go down like that. But, dude, Josh Allen in wild card games, like, why bet on him? Why bet against him, rather? The dude's just going to prove you wrong. So he delivers. In a wild card, he delivers, man. Chiefs in front of him this year, right? Only the Patriots. I say only the Patriots, dude. We're kind of, you know, selling out Denver here, right? Like,
yeah, they haven't even played yet.
Or kind of putting Denver on the shelf here. It's saying, what do you guys got? What do you guys got up there in the one seed, in the one position?
Yeah, that's a whole thing. And I found this sound clip, and I want to get your opinion. So this was Liam Cohen. This was after the loss there for Jacksonville. This is a reporter talking to Liam Cohen.
I want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is that a report?
That's a reporter. That's a reporter talking to Liam Cohen, and there's a bunch of people saying that's not her place to be doing that.
Well, that's not her place to be doing. I mean, it's nice that she's doing that, but
yeah, that sounded like
it sounded like church. My mom. That sounded like my grandma.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and he's obviously
no problem with her doing that. That's shy. I don't really hear reporters doing that. Usually, you just get the questions. But
yeah, that's you know, where I was like nice a little
control, I guess, from someone.
Yeah. I sense an older lady kind of sitting there trying to console him a little bit.
Duval.
That's where I'm at. Duval. I'm back on board, man.
And I think right there with Jacksonville, they're on the cusp of doing something. Look at the AFC, man. It is shifting right now.
Yeah,
and
Rob,
very weird.
It's not. It was just weird. It was kind of like that's why it kind of made my eyebrow pop up a little bit there. That was from a reporter. That's weird. There
was
no
reporter.
Question asked. It was hey, you're doing great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Pat yourself on the back. So
I like how he's like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He's like he's being scolded. Yeah, you know, like when you're in trouble. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But look, Jacksonville, I think that's something you're gonna have to be dealing with here for a while. You mentioned Denver. I mean, here we go. And tonight with the Steelers.
I don't feel like Denver's got a real defense, but I don't
they
know
do, man.
For real, right? And I say that, right? Look at there's been teams that have been led by defense, a la the, you know, the New York Giants here, right? Like, can Knicks make those third and holy shit Eli Manning throws?
I know.
Right? That's kind of what it's going to come down to. I don't know if the I don't know if the Broncos have that solidified weapon. Sutton's a dog, right? Sutton's a dog. But I don't know if Knicks has that solidified weapon that's going to be able to kind of break through some of these championship level defenses here that the AFC is rolling out right now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. The Pats are struggling. The Pats got some injuries right now on defense. And they're still playing to a championship caliber, all right? Like, to hold the Chargers are gonna charge her. That's that old adage, right? But still, like, it's the Chargers are a high-powered offense, okay? Or they have potential to be a high-powered offense. I'm gonna sit there and go back on this. Like, Herbert's still in big game. We talk about, you know, sunshine not delivering, but Herbert in big games, still he's struggling too. So and we all used to think that it's just the Chiefs, you know, it's the Chiefs factor. The Chiefs are in the way. Some of these quarterbacks just can't perform when the lights are on or in playoff fashion here. But also, like, you can't take anything away from the Patriots defense being able to hold the Chargers to 3 points there and not allow them to get into the end zone. Patriots, in spite of their, I'd say, ailments on defense, are still playing championship ball, man.
It's a pretty well-rounded football team is what I'm beginning to realize there with them, watching them more and more. So it really is going to be fascinating. And that's where I say with Chicago on the NFC side, to where the manner that they're winning these games. And again, this is a Green Bay team that, they had guys rested and they came in.
One more question real quick.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's just before I forget, like who's the better quarterback in your opinion, Drake May or Bo Nix? This is an easy question.
No, Drake May.
The better quarterback play, and you could argue that the Patriots defense is right there on par with Denver, right? Denver's got a bang up defense, right? Texans, Denver, and Patriots. Those three defenses in the AFC, probably the best in the AFC right now. Okay. That's no shock. All right. But I mean, my God, out of the quarterback play, you'd like to think that it's Drake May, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the progression, and look at his OC. I mean, and this is where we go back and we talk to that dude, where it's like, as a head coach, no way. But that is his spot.
But with the quarterback play in the championship, caliber, I guess, potential defense that you know, he's got with him, wouldn't you say that the Patriots are probably the favorite?
And they would have to be.
Right. Okay.
I'm not
crazy, right? I didn't want, and
that's where I go back to the Texans, to where it's like the Texans defense is one that I'd like to see take on this New England offense, because I think that would be a battle of, when we talk about trench warfare and all that, I think the Texans and the Patriots, you get them in a game and it would be like which offense can scrounge up something and make a play. Because those defenses are that damn good.
Josh McDaniels should never leave the Patriots organization ever.
Stay there.
Right? And he should just stay an offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. That's it. What's your position in life? Offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. That's all.
That's it.
Next head coach comes in, guess who's your offensive coordinator? It's Josh McDaniel. That's it.
Yeah. And this is a regime that, you know, Lord forbid something happens to any of these people. This is a regime that's going to be in place for a while.
For sure. My point to that is there's nothing wrong with staying an offense coordinator. Look, man, you've tried to be a head coach, and in my opinion, it didn't work. All right. Some people are just suited best for a coordinator spot because that's where they thrive, man. They lock in and that's their jam. That's their business, man. They hone in on that and they make it flourish. They make it thrive. Some people aren't CEOs. Okay. Some people have a job to do and not oversight. All right. McDaniel is an oversight guy. I think he's a focused, like, lock-in type of dude, right? Vrabel, you guys know this. I was lobbying for Vrabel to become a New York Giant for 2 years, man. He was clearly the only reason why the Tennessee Titans were struggling was because of Mike Vrabel. That's it.
Absolutely.
Patriots in the Super Bowl. Oh, and this guy, in spite of injuries and ailments, look at this dude with his crew, man, with the 49ers there. My God, they just still find a way to win. I don't get it. I don't know how they do it. Brock Purdy, I don't get it. Please, someone explain this madness.
I'll tell you, as a Cowboys fan this weekend watching the Eagles, the 49ers, the Packers, I'm like, there you go.
At least the Packers and Eagles lost, you know?
Like, yes,
at least
sir.
At least
well done.
The Eagles losing makes hate watch complete. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, guys, I got to get on the road. I'll see y'all in the morning.
Safe travel, buddy. Good morning. Safe. Stay warm.
Yep. You betcha. I will. Oklahoma.
One of the more entertaining playoff weekends, though, if I should.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, beside like the booger of a game between New England and the Chargers. But I mean, still, you could also phrase that as like a defensive scrum if you wanted to do that. But also, I thought it was underperformance by, again, Justin Herbert underperforming in playoffs.
I saw this stat during the Niners and Eagles game yesterday. We've already had more fourth quarter lead changes than in any postseason in NFL history.
That's awesome.
We still have one more game of wild card weekend to go. Like that is insane. We've had such a great, great first weekend.
Yeah, Monday Night Football tonight too, to top it off with Steelers and Texans. How was y'all's weekend, man? Jordan, you look great. Hadn't seen you in a week. Nick, hadn't seen you in a week either, my guy. What's up?
Appreciate you holding it down, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks for filling in for us for a week. We appreciate
That's it. That's what I do. I always fill it in.
Pause.
Okay. Yeah, I was in San Antonio.
It's been a week. I got to let it all out. I got to get it out.
I was in San Antonio for the last week at the All-American Bowl. So going to be talking about that, the transfer portal, obviously college football playoffs, NFL playoffs, some other things. But yeah, it's the real
me. How you feel about
your Niners? Feeling good. I mean, I talked about it at the beginning of the year when they started going down with injuries. I was like, shoot, man, just tank. Let's get a high draft pick. But they kept on winning.
And torn Achilles for down the middle Kilda, though. But Tonga is able to come in and kind of spell that. You think everything's going to be all right? I mean, shit. I mean, why? You don't have anything else to – any other reason not to think that. And in spite of all their battle with attrition, they seem to be able to prevail. So,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see how they hold up. They played in Seattle the final week of the regular season and got their ass kicked. So that's going to be a rough place to go back to play. Obviously more on the line now though. So, you know, we'll see if there's a different outcome, but not feeling great about going to Seattle. So.
I wouldn't either, buddy. Your all's favorite game. Last one I'll ask you, your all's favorite game of the weekend, and then I'll get out of here.
Ooh, probably Niners Eagles, just cause it was back and forth the entire fourth quarter.
And the Eagles lost.
And the Eagles lost. Yeah. Packers-Bears was a great experience, too.
I love Bills. Bills-Jags was fun.
Bills-Jags. It was just a great weekend.
Yeah, we really not a bad answer there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, boys. Not to be slept on, Illinois State and Montana State in the FCS championship.
What a great one. Coming down to a blocked extra point, man.
It was an absolute banger. I hated it for Illinois State. Amazing Cinderella story fell just short. But
yeah, their second time winning Montana, right? And then Montana State was, and then yeah. Illinois State, you know, was their first appearance there, right? So
yeah.
Great good time. Little man. We've been blessed. I don't know what we did to the gridiron gods, but our offering has made them happy. That's for sure.
And hey, Texas Hoops beat Alabama. So
I know, dude. Everybody's going to call me a crazy person for saying this, but if they can continue to play like this, and I said this before, guys, I think we saw the ceiling of Texas basketball, right? Being able to beat a program like Alabama. We'll see how they can continue this success going up against Vandy. But if they continue to be that aggressive and consistent, then sure. I'm going to sit here and say it. I'm going to whisper it in. I'm going to say it, tournament team, but honestly, If they can play like that, sure. If they can get three or four more wins of those programs like that, then sure they can get in. But they also can't lose to the bunnies either. They have to be able to beat the cupcakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, I'm gonna leave lots of exciting news to get to. I will leave you to it. Y'all have a great show, man.
See you, Wags.